Welcome, good morning, and welcome to Smashy Business. We've rebranded slightly from Smashy Business Daily to Smashy Business. I'm Lumna Hamdan.
I'm Farah Makhlouf.
Welcome, Farah. Farah didn't want to do the show today. I promise it'll be fast, Farah. It'll be quick and painless, all right? So we're on a bit of a deadline today, so we're going to go through the news real quick because we've got an exclusive interview with the co-founder of Soat.com and the co-founder of Rising Giants. It's the acquisition everyone is talking about. But first, the news. A Dubai crypto boss has called the U.S. Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, FinCEN, a mob of thugs on X, formerly Twitter, in a now-deleted tweet. And then great news for the region, the acquisition that I just mentioned, stay tuned for that. And then Pepsi has cemented its presence in Saudi Arabia by announcing a deal to become the gold partner of the Saudi Pro League. Great news for Saudi, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's just
definitely.
It's just doing so many impressive things. Right, a mob of thugs. That's a pretty strong statement,
yeah,
isn't it?
That's intense.
So the founder of cryptocurrency payments gateway, Coin Payments, has accused the U.S. Department of the Treasury's Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, what a long name, FinCEN, of being a mob of thugs following claims that they've accused him of financial crime, according to a now-deleted tweet seen by Smashy Business. So Alex Alexandrov is the co-founder of open-source blockchain company Velas as well. And he said that FinCEN is accusing Coin Payments of helping to fund child abuse and terrorism.
That is just wild.
It's not the first time we've heard that there's trouble in the crypto paradise. It was a paradise for so long, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It was just a money-making machine.
Yeah.
So Alex said a lot of things in his tweet. There were a lot of profanities. He was in a bad mood when he put it out there. The tweet is exclusively on Smashy Business. Business's Instagram, go check it out. We're going to put a link out for you as well. It's a pretty iconic tweet, I would say. He literally tells them to go to hell. But that's not what's interesting. What's interesting is that we've seen a lot of trouble when it comes to crypto. Last year, we saw Sam Bankman-Fried, who once led one of the world's largest cryptocurrency exchanges. He was found guilty of fraud and money laundering after his firm FTX went bankrupt.
Yikes.
Closer to home, UAE-based Changpeng, who is better known as CZ, the CEO of course, the world's largest crypto exchange, Binance, was recently banned from leaving the U.S. Ahead of his sentencing in February. Crypto regulations remained flexible in the UAE.
Mm-hmm.
In Dubai and Abu Dhabi now, everyone in the crypto world, in the blockchain world, is coming here to the UAE.
Yeah, exactly.
Why do you think that is?
The UAE is just a hub for a lot of different things, and cryptocurrency, like, is definitely one of them. So,
you know what? I think it's because they're not easily spooked here in the UAE, right? The investors are just eager to invest and eager to have all of these exciting, albeit risky, businesses come here because crypto is very volatile, right? But it's very interesting. So. Right now, there are more than 5,000, just an interesting fact for you guys, just to see the comparison, right? There were only 46 SPVs located in the Abu Dhabi Global Market. That was in 2016. There are now 5,000. And some of those vehicles are linked to India's Adani family, hedge fund billionaire Ray Dalio, and Russian steel magnate Vladimir Lysin. So exciting.
Yeah.
Exciting stuff.
Definitely.
Right. Up next, we've got Jordan's Soat Media acquires Dubai-based podcast platform Rising Giants. It's the acquisition everyone is talking about. So Soat Media is a digital audio media company that focuses on premium Arabic content in the form of podcasts. Their content is actually really, really interesting. It has acquired, as it has done before, but this time it has acquired Dubai-based Rising Giants, which scripts and produces what it describes as immersive podcast experiences. Now, we've seen a lot of these companies, right? They come up on the scene and then they die out just a couple months later. It's really hard to make it in the content industry right now because it's so competitive, isn't
it? Yeah, everyone's doing a podcast.
Everyone and their mother is doing a podcast.
So it's really hard to, like, put yourself out there and be the the main person and the person that everybody wants to go to mm-hmm. listen to a podcast. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty competitive over here.
You know what the difference is, though? The difference is that these guys know exactly what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And they do a lot of, you know, they do everything from rock and roll music to politics. You know, they talk about dictators in the Middle East and they talk about their stories. And it's, you know, it's great to see quality content out there. It's great to see people who do that. You know, there are so many influencers just doing these, you know, really silly podcasts. So, yeah, anyways, another dig at influencers. There you go.
It's a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, absolutely. But before we welcome in Basil from Rising Giants, and Ramsey is waiting on Zoom right now, just going to quickly go through the PepsiCo story. So Pepsi is making moves and cementing its presence in Saudi Arabian football. It just announced a deal to become the gold partner of the Saudi Pro League. It's a pretty big deal. It's going to be the official water partner through its product Aquafina, official soft drinks partner through Pepsi, of course, official sports drink partner, Gatorade. Mm. Wow. Okay. I feel really old. And official potato chips partner, Lay's. So obviously the partnership is going to include a series of activations and events aimed at enhancing, of course, fans' engagement on match days. A friend of mine works for Pepsi. Mm. It's a great move by Pepsi, and their activations are iconic. So it's going to be exciting.
That's a perfect partnership.
It's going to be
right
exciting
there.
To see that.
Yeah.
Right. Farah, thank you. I told you that was going to be quick and painless.
It really was.
So you're going to come back on the show, right, next week?
We'll see. We'll see.
Or
if
this
there
week.
Is a breaking story, yeah. please have me.
Absolutely.
I would love to sit and talk about it.
Absolutely. Brilliant. Thank you, Farah.
Thank you.
And thanks, guys. Stay tuned. Basil is going to be coming in just a couple seconds. Stay with me. Ramsey, we're also going to be speaking to him. Speak to you soon. Welcome back, guys. We've got Ramzi Tesdil, who I've been calling Ramsey this whole time. But you know what? You're half American, Ramzi, right? So it's fine.
It works.
I would
say it works, yeah.
Ramzi, welcome. We've
whatever
got you.
whatever
I want. Okay, nice. I like it. Co-founder of SOAT, of course. And then with us in the studio, Basil. Anabtawi. Basil, yes.
Since we're saying names wrong.
if I were British, it would probably be Basil.
Basil,
I would call you.
Yes.
Imagine
I mean, Basil.
That.
I heard Basil before. I heard... Heard a lot of different.
I'm not surprised. You should hear how they pronounce my name.
Yeah.
I'm not even.
Yours is quite straightforward, I would say.
Lubna. Yeah. It's Lubna.
Oh, Lubna.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Lubna. Ramzi, I don't know if you love Lebanon.
Childhood trauma.
Yeah. I'm hungry now.
Just bringing out the trauma in this session. It's a therapy session. Sorry. Go on.
No worries.
Basil. Yes.
So Basil, this is going to be fun. I can tell already. Basil is the co-founder and CEO of Rising Giants. Congratulations to both of you. SOAT has just acquired Rising Giants.
I know.
How does it feel?
The plan was to acquire SOAT, but then they had more power
we
over
the
us.
Script.
So they had more power over us. Nice. No, it feels amazing. I think, first, I respect Ramzi a lot. I'm not just saying this because we're on camera.
Yeah, because off camera, that was another situation.
We did say we were going to do beef. I do not like Ramzi, but, you know, he does. No, I do. I like Ramzi a lot. I think he's a fantastic guy. And Ramzi and I actually met a few years ago. And when I had my Basil Meets podcast, it was just me doing my own podcast. But then with time, it grew. And then Ramzi and I started having calls every month to just kind of compare notes and see where we are with our respective podcast networks.
Nice.
And I just think that we saw, like, we dated for a while. And we just saw.
And now he's your sugar daddy.
And he's my sugar daddy now. So we saw, like, a nice fit for Rising Giants to fit within SOAT. And we were having a conversation for the past couple of months, and we found the right synergies between what SOAT offers and the type of IPs that Rising Giants built over the past couple of years, 3 years. And there's no better place, I think there's no better home for the IPs of Rising Giants than with SOAT and my man Ramzi. I keep looking there because Ramzi's in front of me. So
Yeah, sure, go ahead. You can look whatever you want. Just feel free and
feel
comfortable. Because the more comfortable you feel, the more I can get out of you. So,
yes, please.
Ramzi, how do you feel about this this partnership? And why did you choose Rising Giants, I guess? I mean, you guys chose each other, obviously, but tell me a little bit about the thinking behind it.
Yeah, we were definitely, to take the dating metaphor a little bit further, you know, this is our second acquisition, and it's kind of like having a second child. You think you know a lot about what's going to happen. You have ideas of, you know, you have things that have happened before. You feel like you're in a smarter, better position. And then you realize the second child's completely different than the first child. And so this is kind of how I feel about this. You're super excited. There's even more excitement about this acquisition. But I think, you know, there's always surprises and whatnot. And I think what we're really excited about is a couple of different things. Obviously, the content is great. It fits in well to the Sold family. You know, growing the audiences is really important. And I think for us, you know, as Sold, our core values are to have, you know, bold content that highlights the diversity of the region, and the content that Basel and Rising Giants have put together over the last couple of years has been really exciting and has done really well. And so I think, you know, marrying those two networks together has been a really good thing. So we're really excited about it. We're really happy to continue to be working with, you know, the Rising Giants family as they join ours and Basel in particular, and seeing how far we can push this, because we really think, you know, podcasting has a lot of growth left. And so that's what we're excited about.
I'm glad you're saying that about podcasting. I do have a question about it because it's become rather saturated, I would say. But first, you said this conversation is different from the first one. Obviously, your acquisition was in 2022. It was Finyan Media, Dubai-based as well. How is the conversation different this time?
Yeah, I mean, I think this, you know, this time we're a bit more mature. We kind of know, we know the mistakes that we made last time. Obviously, nothing works off perfectly. We're excited about incorporating the content into our existing portfolio and producing more episodes of a bunch of the shows. And I think there's a lot of excitement from both sides, from the hosts, from the talent that Rising Giants has worked with in the past, and also from our team to produce a lot more really good content that reaches a lot of diverse audiences in the Middle East. And I think, you know, the other thing that has been really different is that we're excited about working with Basel and some of the team. With Finyal, it was a bit different. We took over just the shows and we started producing those, and we had to go, there was some growing pains for sure. We had to change some of the characters, some of the voice actors didn't move on and whatnot. But with this acquisition, I think, you know, we're hitting the ground running with, you know, with Abdullah, Naimi, and Kusi Lethnani. He published his first episode, I think, of the fourth season yesterday. And Mace, we're just at the start of production there. And there's several other shows that we're just starting to discuss with them what other episodes we can do with them. And so I think we're in a much different place and a much more mature place than we were last time.
So you're saying basically Finyal Media was a little bit of a pain. Tell me a little bit about the challenges. It's okay if it was. Do you regret it?
I mean, all children are painful, right? So
it's a good metaphor.
No, I definitely don't regret it. And I think, you know, without that, we couldn't have had this. And the team of Finyal, you know, Leila, Shadi, and Majid were super professional, and they were lovely to work with. And Basel has been lovely to work with as well, and we're excited about that. But there's always growing pains, teething. You know, we could take this metaphor to the end of to the end of the road. But there's always pains. But that's what makes it beautiful, to be honest. Without that, you know, gets quite boring pretty quickly.
That is true. Basel, yeah. It's, you know, judging by this conversation, it's yeah. not going to be a boring ride for you.
Yeah, no.
So the podcast market, I mean, yeah. you guys think there is obviously still room for growth. I do as well. I love the content on both platforms. It's really very insightful, different to a lot of the silly stuff out there where, you know, there's no context, there's no value when you're listening to it. So I do think we
How do you really feel?
How do you really feel? Yeah, again.
Tell us more about
what a deep, you know, question. What a concept. Tell me about your thoughts on you know, how much potential is there for growth in the podcast market right now in audio?
Yeah, look, I think it's interesting. I think when people look at podcasts as a separate thing from content, you know, content is content, and people are going to consume content. Even if we all cease to exist tomorrow, other people are going to be creating content, and the same people are going to go somewhere else to consume that content. So I think the content space will continuously grow, and it's just, there's people always looking for new content. And so I think what podcast does really well is the long form piece of the content. So it's that laid back viewing, or whether you're running, or whether you are doing something else, like a chore.
For cultured people.
Right? Yes, for extremely cultured people. So as long as, I think that's what podcast does really well. In fact, sometimes you can find like comedy podcasts. Like one of my favorite shows, it's actually audio and video. It's called Kill Tony, and it's a completely, like, it's just 2 hours of debauchery and, you know, comedy and that type of thing. Nice. So there's for all types of people, there's something in the podcasting space. So I think, you know, if we look at it as a content business, and I think I know that that's how we looked at RGN. It's a content business that predominantly gets looked at or dubbed as a podcast. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, there's definitely always growth, always room for growth. And I see that the podcasting game still has a long way to go. As in, like, there's a lot of room for growth. Mm-hmm. We see it with our clients. They talk to us a lot about podcasts, especially and specifically in Saudi Arabia. It has become mainstream. It is really mainstream. Like, I would go in an Uber, and he's not listening to radio. He's listening to a podcast, you know?
Nice.
So I think it's an incredible time to be in, and not just for Salt and Rising Giants, but also you look at Mike's and Themania and what they're doing and what they're building. And the ecosystem seems to be more mature right now than what it was before.
I absolutely agree with you. And it's not just that. I think, you know, with all the political events that are happening, I feel there's a shift and people want more homegrown. You know, they want to change the narrative. We don't just want to consume American Western content.
No, absolutely, yeah.
We want to consume local content. We want to listen to, you know, Fadi Ghandour just put it up on his LinkedIn a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, it was the time of the ICJ trial, and none of the, you know, the BBCs and the CNNs were not covering it. And he said, you know, we know where to get our news, and it's not from you.
Right.
So I definitely think right now, you know, is the chance to do this.
Absolutely.
What is the plan now with the acquisition?
For me, well, I don't know. I'd let Ramzi lead on this first, and then I can piggyback on what he says.
Sure.
I mean, I think the plan is to. I mean, there's basically three things that we're looking at. We want to make sure that the content we're producing is super professional. So we're going to take the shows, we're going to produce them, we're going to produce a lot of episodes, you know, in coordination with the hosts and the talent that we're working with. The second thing is our focus is to grow the audiences. So once you have a really good content, and I would agree with, you know, Basit and Lubna on this point that content is the core of all that, whether it's a video, whether it's an audio, whether it's a, you know, an Instagram, you know, post or reel or a YouTube short. It's really the core aspect of that is the content. And so I think, you know, making sure that you have the content right, you have the audience, which is growing. So these are new audiences that we're introducing to each other. And then finally, you know, to add the layer of financial sustainability on that, we have to monetize this content, and we're going to do that, you know, through sponsorships, through advertising, and exclusive subscription offerings. And so this is the plan. There's a lot of Rising Giants RGN content that fits in really well already to our kind of slate and our plan for the future, and we think, you know, the next couple of years that's really going to grow. And just to the point about podcasts, I think, you know, our just on Salt level, Salt's audience doubled last year. So from 2022 to 2023, we saw a doubling of that audience growth. And so that's fantastic. And we want to continue that rate into this year. And I think, you know, podcasts are really good for talking about interesting topics, providing context, having honest conversations, and hearing different voices. And I think that's where we really try to focus our energy And in producing that type of content. So I think those are the exciting things about audio and audio podcasts and video podcasts.
Absolutely. So
I would say one thing about SALT. So we had several conversations, maybe that's a scoop, before we landed with SALT.
Yeah.
The reason we did is because, you know, I have a very personal interest in the people who did shows with us. Mm-hmm. So Maysa Muhammad, Abdullah Naimi, Maya Hjej, Bara Sabah, all of these people who worked with us, like I have a very personal interest in seeing them succeed.
Nice.
I think the one person that my mind kept going back to was Ramzi and Salt, because I felt that they could provide them this sort of environment and the care mm-hmm. for their shows to grow and succeed, you know. So and I think Ramzi can attest to this, how many times I told him about Mace, Abdullah, these guys, like just making sure that, you know, take care of them, like these are the guys, you know, these are my people, you know. So I think we kept going back, and even though we had different methods on the table or different entities that were talking to us, we kept going back to SALT because I think SALT was the company that we felt was the best fit for these people to have this type of home.
Are any of those entities Dubai-based by any chance?
They
are UAE-based, I would say.
Yeah, UAE, I would say so. Some are UAE. Yeah, UAE-based,
yeah?
I would say.
Okay.
That's as far as I can go.
Cool.
but Ramzi...
Color of the logo? Okay.
I can't say.
Yeah, it's okay. Don't worry about it.
We'll talk about it later. Definitely, Ramzi was definitely, and Salt were definitely the home that we felt could be the best suited. And I know that our podcasters are super excited. I spoke to them all personally, and they're all super excited to be working with Salt. Even when I told them, like, first we were saying that we were talking about it, and I didn't tell them who it was.
Yeah.
But then when I said it was Salt, everybody got really, really excited that it was Salt. So, yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, we have seen a lot of acquisitions go wrong, I would say, I mean, for Kareem, for example, the Uber acquisition was great. Everyone is saying, you know, should have Kareem, you know, sold out?
I mean, $3 billion.
Yeah, it is. It is a lot of money, absolutely. And then, you know, you've got Souq as well with Amazon. But, everyone just wonders, had they not sold out,
yeah.
Could they have taken Uber down?
Yeah.
True. Right. The question on everyone's minds, the number.
Oh.
How much?
It's a very complicated thing. And I think we're both tied to NDAs that we cannot mention. But okay. Ramzi, I don't know if you want to add anything.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're not gonna say anything about that in too much detail. But I think we came up with a deal that worked for both of us, mm-hmm. I think it helps. You know, I've been saying for quite a while that we need more consolidation in the industry. We need people to work together, and we've had a lot of conversations too about other acquisitions. Looking at other players out there. To consolidate and work together, and we couldn't find the right formula. With Vasil and Rising Giants, we came up with the right formula, and it works for us and it works for them. And I think everybody came out of this happy. And obviously, the logic, the mathematics of acquisitions, M&As, mergers and acquisitions are really important here. It's got to be a 1+1 equals, it's got to be greater than 2. So it's got to be a 3 or 4 or 5. And so we came up with a formula that made that, good for us and good for them.
It's
and ultimately good for the audience. And this is what really is important here.
Absolutely. And it really is great to see such an acquisition in the market here. One last question, because I know we're running short of time, and Basil, you...
No, actually, my meeting just got pushed till tomorrow.
Yeah? Oh, great.
For you.
Wow. Okay. Thank you. I'm grateful for that.
But still, I mean, it's getting hot.
It is getting hot in here.
Yeah, there's a lot of lights in the studio.
We turned off the AC to
great.
You
Ramzi, answer. Is it raining in Amman? How's it going?
It's nice and cool here. Weather's great. So.
You're fine over there. Okay.
We're holding Basil hostage, basically, until he answers all the questions.
I cut you off. Yeah, sorry.
In the hot seat. Tell me about the monetization part of the business. Obviously... a lot of not just content platforms, a lot of the tech platforms, a lot of the, you know, Facebook just paid its investors its first dividends. Well, it's going to in March, but just announced that it will. But, you know, X is formerly Twitter, is not doing that great. Spotify as well. You know, there are so many platforms in the content, I think, you know, social/content/tech. How are the challenges? How challenging is it to monetize on this content?
Yeah. I mean, I could tell, I mean, it's a question of, I think, scale, you know, like, I think that's what people, but that's what brands look for, at least from my experience. Maybe Ramzi has a different experience, but from mine, I think brands continuously look for two things. I think one is obviously relevancy of the content to their content, to their brand. And second is scale, you know, how much reach and impressions can you get me, you know? So I think in the past we've worked with Salt before to kind of like double or triple impressions and reach for a client. So I guess it does make sense where we are bringing both worlds together because we've done this work before, and obviously with a lot of support from Salt. But that's, it's, has it been easy? No, it hasn't. Obviously, it's a challenging thing, and I think this is true for any business. That you have to continuously keep monetizing. I think there's new tools now, so like there's programmatic tools that are really helpful in, you know, in passive income. There's the Apple subscription tool as well. But the core still remains with the brands, and mm-hmm. I think these are the biggest sort of deals that we make mm-hmm. are with brands and you know, show takeovers and white labels and stuff like that. Right. That remains to be, I think, the biggest source of revenue. But I think when Ramzi and I were talking, because you know you're talking about this deal. The core of the deal is partnership. You know, right. it's having us involved in whatever Salt is doing as well. And so mm-hmm. our core is to grow the shows, scale the shows, and make sure that we monetize the shows themselves. You know, mm-hmm. And I think that's the core of what we're thinking.
And investing in people as well, right? Like if yeah. you look at the top podcasts, it's all about the person. Like Joe
Correct.
Rogan.
Yeah.
You know, for women, it's Alexandra Cooper. She's now, you know. Doing really well for herself.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is about investing
absolutely.
In the people.
Absolutely. And I think that's, you know, one of the core things that we have is having
right.
the right people
right.
to do shows. So I think Ramzi can maybe
yeah, just really quick. I mean,
deny.
I could step in and say, if you look at, you know, if you look at Spotify, they had a great year last year. If you look at Acast, which is another Swedish, you know, podcast company that does, you know, hosting and monetization, they had a great year. All their numbers went up. Their efficiencies went up. So we're seeing things move in the right direction. I think, you know, the chasing scale will kind of have its own logical end. And I don't see that as a good thing necessarily. I agree with Vasa that a lot of brands look for that. I think there are other things that we can offer that are more, that are valuable, maybe not necessarily more valuable, but as valuable as scale and numbers. And that's, you know, context, authenticity, diversity, and some of those things that people are really looking for. Those are values that people, you know, humans seek out. And so as a content platform, as a, you know, as a content person, this is where we focus. And then, you know, figuring out the monetization, the scale, the audience numbers after that is a part of that game. We're really excited. I'm very, very bullish about next year. And I think it's going to be a great year.
I love this, and I, you know, I love the partnership between two local companies because, and I don't want to keep quoting him, but he's just too legendary. Fadi Ghandour, you know, I remember I was at a, you know, I used to work for Arabian Business, and we had a conference, and you know, Mohammed Al-Habbar gave a speech about, you know, how, you know, it's important to support startups in the region. And then, you know, Fadi Ghandour went up on stage after him, and he said, you know, I'm sorry, Abu Rashid, but where were you, you know, when we were asking for RMX, when we were asking support, you know, no one was around, you know, please do actually, you know, invest and support startups. It was a huge moment. Yeah,
wow.
Everyone kind of went silent
yeah.
on stage.
wow.
But, you know, speaking of, you know, there's always space for another good thing. I remember a couple of years ago, I interviewed Jason Atherton, who was coached by Gordon Ramsay, and he was opening a restaurant here. And I said, you know, at the time, obviously F&B was even more saturated than it is today here in Dubai. And I said, why another restaurant? And he said, well, because there's always space for another good restaurant as long as the restaurant is good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love food.
Yeah. But then it's
what's
not
the restaurant?
Just, the restaurant was Social.
Okay.
Social. Marina Social.
Marina, shout out.
That was the restaurant. Okay. Yeah. And then they've got a new one in Grosvenor's house.
Dana,
as well.
We should book.
Anyway. Should book that when Ramzi, you're going to be in town next
week. Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Well, Ramzi's buying dinner.
I'll be in town next week, so dinner's on me.
Okay, yeah.
It's an amazing place, by the way.
Is
really,
it?
Really good food. Okay. Better than Gordon Ramsay. Sorry,
shots
Gordon.
Fired.
But you know, Lubna, you were saying that you think podcasts and content is saturated. I would argue that good content, there isn't a saturation, and as Basil said, there always is a need for good content, whether it's high quality, contextual, diverse or interesting content that is looking at new ideas in new ways. I think those are really important things. And so I would argue that there is absolutely not a saturation of that. There's a saturation of a lot of content that, doesn't fulfill some of those ideas.
I mean, I'd look at it, we're going to get a little philosophical.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, Netflix just gained X amount of user. I don't know what the number is, and then you look at Disney and they lost X amount of users as well.
Right, great point. Yeah.
But then you ask why? Why is that the case? Disney has a lot of great content, on Disney Plus, but Netflix doesn't have as much. Mm-hmm. But what gets Netflix to gain?
They know their audience.
They know their audience really well. That's super key. They put out, they really study the type of, as silly as maybe we find Dubai Bling or whatever, there's an audience for it.
Absolutely.
And they're doing season 2 and season 3 and people are eating it up, mm-hmm. And now they're doing Love is Blind in Arabic.
They're betting on local audiences.
Yeah. When I saw Love is Blind in Arabic, because my wife and I, we saw Love is Blind. I'm totally.
I watch it shamelessly.
And I sent it to her. I was like, we are canceling all of our plans because this is what we're watching. Love is Blind in Arabic. Can you imagine? It's going to be amazing.
I know. It's crazy. Yeah,
so I think the fact that they know their audience and they curate the content that they put out as originals aren't as many as Disney, but it's programmed in the right way. It comes out at the right time.
Yeah.
And it hits the right audience. And the most important thing is that their content goes into the culture. The culture eats up their content and the culture talks about Netflix content and not the oversaturated content on Disney Plus or wherever else.
Yeah, like that Friends movie, Asdiqa wal Aaz.
Yes, exactly. So that, when that came out, that the culture was talking about that type of movie.
Exactly.
So I think, and I think
same
what,
thing with the Rawabi School for Girls.
Exactly. I mean, so they have another season coming out, and that getting people excited about that. Now they have their deal with the Saudi creators. I believe it was U-Turn and Tilfaz, or Tilfaz, I think is the company. So that's they're gaining that Saudi audience. So that localized approach of what they're doing is great.
Yeah.
And also they're supported by these hero moments, those big shows that they release globally. Whether it's Squid Game or whatever it is. That brings the global audience in, and
absolutely. Sorry, go ahead, Basil.
No, so my to wrap this up in terms of what the podcasting scene is, I think we see so much podcast and so much saturation and all that sort of stuff, but then the company that brings out these quality shows and the shows that get people talking and goes through the culture, I think that's where the opportunity lies, and that's where you can grow, and that's where you can start building conversations. Because at the end of the day, what you want is conversations around the dinner table, sharing on WhatsApp with friends, and that's what wins,
Exactly.
Gets people to...
Spot on.
Yeah.
Spot on. I mean, even when it comes to Dubai Bling, what most people fail to understand, or maybe they're just ignoring that fact, is that it doesn't matter how silly the show is. It matters that everyone is talking about it.
Right.
And most people perhaps don't care about the characters there or, the narrative or the plot, but they love seeing their city on the screen.
That's another thing. That's true. Yeah.
Absolutely. That is honestly the... I would say 90% of why I watch Dubai Bling is to see Dubai on Netflix.
Even Rawabi al-Banat, I liked seeing Amman, you know, like, because I grew up in Amman, and so seeing it on screen was really cool, you know, and
I mean, I remember even at the time of Karim and Uber, you know, Uber wanted to acquire Karim because it was failing in so many ways here in the region, because it did not know. It did not know that, you know, people in Egypt don't use credit cards, you know, they want to pay cash. Yeah. You know, there are so many different things, like, and it's the same with content, right? You can't create English content in Bahrain and expect people to listen to it, because people want to listen to Arabic content.
I think, you know, I would think when it comes to English content, I think this was true maybe a few years ago, but TikTok changed the game. Mm. I think there's a lot of English speaking influencers who are local, who are doing super, super, super well.
In the UAE.
In the UAE.
I was talking about Bahrain.
Oh, Bahrain in particular. Okay.
Yeah, because, you know, I mean, when it comes to Spotify, you know, do they really know the difference of, you know, the audience in Bahrain and the audience
true.
In
okay,
Saudi?
I get
and the,
you.
You know, the Saudis are still not, you know, they're still not open to having a non-Saudi presenter when it comes to shows, for example.
Yeah.
You know, how is Spotify going to know that? You know, are they really digging deep into the market? I think you guys would have better knowledge when it comes to, you know, the region.
I mean, we're from
space.
The region, so I guess that's why we know the nuances of the region.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Ramzi, anything you'd like to add? Sorry, we kind of...
No worries. No, I think, I mean, this is really exciting. I think it's a great conversation about content, about the region. I think there's a lot of space for different types of content, whether it's video, TikTok, you know, music. It's really exciting moment. I mean, it's a really terrible moment at the same time, you know, what's happening in Palestine. But I think it's really, you know, important to remember that and to fight for justice there. But at the same time, you know, celebrate some of the successes and some of the good things that are happening in the region at the same time. And I think, you know, fundamentally, at the beginning and the end of every day, I think it's important to hold those things, hold both of those things at the same time.
Absolutely, because if we're not celebrating the wins here as well, I feel like they just win, you know. So yeah, absolutely, it's important to celebrate those successes and continue to support local talent. Congratulations to the both of you.
Thank you.
Great
Thank you.
News.
I'll see you next week, Ramzi.
Congrats, Bassin.
We're gonna go to what's it called?
Marina Social.
Marina Social. That's what we're going.
Marina Social.
Yeah.
All right.
And Lubna's buying.
Lubna's buying.
She's got wasta, so she got recovered.
Done.
Recovered.
You know what? Yeah, I got you guys covered. Okay. All right,
thank you.
Guys. Thanks so much. Guys, you can watch the show now free on YouTube, or if you've got an account on Spashy TV, you can also stream it there. And then we're on all socials. Also, we're available wherever you get your podcasts: Spotify, Apple, and Rami. And we'll see you tomorrow.